Parshas Lech Lecha, we have Avraham Avinu and his whole entourage going down to Mitzrayim for the Ra'av, for the famine. And then they come back up, and the Chumash tells us, also Lo Ruel, with Avraham had flax, cattle, and tents, and the land could not support them dwelling together, for their possessions were abundant, and they weren't able to dwell together. And there was quarreling between the herdsmen of Avram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lo's livestock, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite were then dwelling in the land. And as Rashi points out, found in Source 1b, the herdsmen of Lot said, Avram doesn't have any descendants. Lot is going to be his heir. He's promised the land. We can have our sheep graze wherever they feel like. Well, Avram's shepherds had their sheep muzzled. They said, that may be true, but the land doesn't belong to us yet. The Canaanite, the priests, they are in the land. We can't just go around doing whatever you want. And that was the quarrel of whether they had a right now to the land or not, that they could take any part that they want. So Avram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between me and you, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Ki anashim achim anachdu. Is not all the land before you? Please separate from me. Hipari namalai. If you go left, then I will go right, and if you go right, then I will go left. So Lot raised his eyes and saw the entire plain of the Jordan that was well watered everywhere. Before Hashem destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of Hashem, like the land of Egypt going towards Soar. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed from the east. Vayisa Lot mikedem. Thus they parted one from his brother. Number of questions that we need to raise here. In general, we need to understand, we've spoken about it in the past, we'll look at it from a really different perspective today. Who is Lot? Let's try to understand what Lot is about. After all, Lot came with Avram. You know, the Lech Lecha, we say, is a new Sion for Avram. Was it not a new Sion for Lot? And yet we find such disparity in understanding Lot. On the one hand, he came with Avram. He was, in that way, he was very admirable. On the other hand, we see later on that he cohorts with his daughters. He's living in Sodom. Yet on the other hand, he's ready to give his life for the guest in Sodom. We need to understand his personality. That'll be an overall question. The specific question I'd like to deal with today is a question which a lot of the Mefarshim ask, and this is articulated in Tal Chaim, Rav Chaim HaKohen, the Chalban, in source number 2. V'inein kein kasher. Hallo Avraham Avinu mitasei kol yom b'chzorah b'tshuva. Avraham Avinu's whole raison d'etre in life is to bring people closer to Hashem. As ech and Lot, she'ar b'saro, einu mekarev el marchik. How could it be that his own kinsman, his own brother-in-law, his own nephew, he's sending him away? And he himself brought him into Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't he have an achrayas for him? Doesn't he have some type of responsibility for him? How do we understand that Avraham Avinu, the epitome of chesed, is telling Lot, hiparan na me'alai, distance yourself from me. How could he do such a thing? It seems to be so counter Avraham Avinu. That's our major question for today. I want to see Mir Tzashem. Three approaches. Influencing, indulging, and inculcating all three aspects of understanding this. The secondary question, another more specific question, is Vayisam Lo Mikedem, and Lo journeyed from the east. Chazal bring down, why do we need to know when he journeyed from the east? That he left Mikadmo Shalolam. He left the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kivyachol he said, Yefshib Avram, Yefshib Elokav. I want nothing to do with Avram, nothing to do with his God. Really? Lot said that? What was going on in Lot's head? What was Lot thinking? Right? That's a very strong statement. And again, we need to understand why we even have this. And this is why Chazal are darshaning it. And Lot journey from the east seems to be redundant. This idea of Avram separating himself from Lot, we've seen Chazal, it's not so clear that it was such a good thing. The Birkas Mordechai points out, source number 3, Vashem Amar al Avram Achrei Parei Lot Mimo, that Hashem speaks to Avram and gives him the promise of the whole land once Lot is separated. So Rashi tells us the name of the Medrash, Kozman Shara Shaimo Ayadabur Parosh Mimenu. As long as Lot was with Avram Avinu, Hashem didn't speak to him. Only when Lot left did Hashem speak to him. So on the one hand, it seems to be Yashikoach, about time you got rid of him. Now I can have, communication with you. On the other hand, we find and source 4, Ve'ilu b'medrash be'shirava l'oto pasuk darshu, acharei hi pared lot mimo, after Lot separated, lomar l'cha kiba HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tviya l'Avram Avinu. Hashem came with a complaint against Avram Avinu. L'kol hu medabeg v'lo l'achi v'no medabeg. To everyone you bring closer, but to Lot, your own brother-in-law, you don't bring closer. So we almost find here two different aspects. Was it good that he separated from Lot? Was Hashem happy that now he speaks to him, and beforehand he couldn't? Or Hashem comes to him now, Achareidi Parei Milot, to tell him, Avram, what he did wasn't such a good thing. So again, we need to understand this whole dynamic of why Avram Avinu, what Avram Avinu had in mind when he separated from Lot, and obviously the lessons we can learn. The first level, which is probably the most obvious and classic level, is Brot L'Tikhel Yom, source number 5. And he says, quoting Rav Reuven Gravovsky, Rosh Yeshiva Tor V'Dash, Avram Avinu kirev et mi shira'a b'masav, ratzoli lame. Avram Avinu understood that he could only teach people who were ready and open to be taught. When he saw that Avram Avinu saw that Lot wasn't interested, we're having this argument about the land that Avram Avinu was saying to him, but it's not mine yet. And he said, I don't care. Let them graze wherever they want. He saw he wasn't open to rebuke. He wasn't open to learning. Im kein lamrot shelot haya bar ma'alav ma'oto, albeit Lot was a great person in essence, ein ba'al lishtadel b'kiruvo v'arev k'avod min olam. There's nothing to talk about. He's not open to being influenced. And Rav Duner, in Mikdash Shalevi, source number 6, develops this. He says, Ulam hu igia l'maskanasha devarino bar bitzua. He saw he wasn't able to influence him. And he also understood that it's not just a question of not being able to influence Lot. He was also worried about something else. Lot's influence on other people. V'omnamin dronei b'vchira shvachar Lot. When we see the choice that Lot made of where he lived, we see that he chose people who were shtufei zima, who were involved in morality, who had this lust for money. So we see that Lot wasn't choosing, making very good choices. So you see that Avram Avinu saw his influence on him was very limited. And v'kan ilu lo haya Avram Avinu choshesh lo shomam arichonim shokol nashim shekineis tach kafer shmina, perhaps, had Avram Avinu not been worried about the influence Lot might potentially have on the other converts, he may still have worked with him. However, now, when he sees that he may have a very negative effect, a very negative spiritual effect on the people in Avram's house, he couldn't give license to himself to keep Lot around. With no choice. He was afraid, Lot, I can't work with you. You're not a bar clique people. You're not open. And what worries me even more is that you and your hashkafas and your, you know, where your focus is, may have an effect on all those around me. And you're going to undo all the chinuch I'm trying to do. So in order to protect Avram Avinu's work, he needed B'lei Breira, without a choice, to be able to say, Lot, it's time to leave. However, on this, the question becomes, did he have to distance him but completely? And this is what the Tam V'Daz points out in source number 8. V'nira Shavar Avinu hayat sarich litrachek melot, k'dei shanav shav lo yamdu mel say Lot. You're right. He had to distance Lot so that the people shouldn't be affected. But that doesn't mean that Avram Avinu himself had to distance himself. He could have said to Lot, look, you can't live with us because I'm afraid of your influence. However, if you live a few blocks down, if you live in the next neighborhood over, then I can still have a relationship with you without having those effects. And this is what the Or Daniel speaks about in Source 7, the very famous idea of Yamin Mekarev V'Smol Docheh. There's almost this balance of where the right brings in, the left pushes away, and when you do that, it's a very delicate balance, and unfortunately we sometimes struggle with this balance within our own families, where if we all have a child who's not conforming to the rest of the standards of the house, whatever they may be, however may be manifested, it's a big question. Do you have that person in the house or not? And the question, which has to be raised and evaluated every case. The question is, what influence will they potentially have on the other siblings? If they stated themselves and the influence is not on the other siblings, that's a different story. And if it is on the other siblings, so then perhaps you'll say, and again, every case has to be weighed, not to live in the house, but to live nearby, to live with people who will be able to impact a grandparent, a positive role model, so that you're not just distancing them and throwing them out on the street, that they become worse, that there is this tug of war of the right and the left. It's a very hard balance. And this is the struggle that we're seeing with Avraham Avinu. It's really a struggle that we all have. Like, how do you know what the correct thing is? And here Avraham Avinu felt that Lot's influence was just to be so great that it was, well, it's not worth the danger that was inherent. I'll just add here, in source number 9 and 10, the Birkas Mordechai Rav Ezrachi points out that Avraham Avinu was ready not to have Hashem come to him and speak to him for Lot being in his presence. Right? Hashem came to him only when Lot left. Avraham Avinu understood that Hashem wasn't talking to him because he had this Russia in his presence. Nonetheless, this whole time until now, Avraham Avinu says, it's okay, I'm ready to sacrifice Hashem's coming to me. I'm ready to sacrifice that higher level of Kedusha to see the way I can influence Lot. And this is also an important lesson to understand, that we have to understand that sometimes it does take sacrifices on our own spirituality, on our own high level, when we do bring in these types of people, and the effect that it has. People in Kivruv have this question all the time. One has to be careful that they themselves do not, right? As Ur Daniel says, if you're going to try to save someone who's drowning, make sure you don't drown yourself with them. And that, unfortunately, happens, both physically as well as spiritually. So there has to be like a checks and balance system where Avraham Avinu is ready to give up a bit of his own spirituality to try to save Lot. And for that, he spends years doing. On the other hand, once he says, you know what, I can't anymore, and he separates from Lot, there is some type of tviyah on him. Like, Avraham Avinu, you couldn't hold on a little bit longer, and both are true, and both hold weight, and that's why every situation has to be looked at and evaluated for its own, you know, effects, benefits, and the things that are deterrents. I'll just add, the Be'er Yosef has a very fascinating approach in source 12, which takes away the entire question. He says, when Avraham Avinu was told, Lech Lecha, leave your father's house, your land, etc., he really didn't want to take Lot with him. Lot decided to go with him, so Avraham says, okay, come. As soon as Lot begins to act similar to the mores of the place, the mores of the place he just came from, he says, you know what, Lot? Leaving you, he parinam alai, is part of the mitzvah of Lech Lecha. It's nothing wrong what I'm doing. He parinam is, Hashem told me, separate yourself from your father's house, from your land, from where you've come from. So I try to do that. You came with me. Now that I see that you brought with you all that I try to leave, part of the mitzvah, v'shigam hub nichla, but that's simply part of the commandment of Lech Lecha, is to stay away from you. And that way, Avraham Avinu felt no compunction, where he says, until now, I felt I could influence you. Now that I can influence you, and you have brought that which I was told to stay away from, I have but no choice. And not only do I have no choice, but late Brera, which we saw earlier, it's one step further. It's a mitzvah for me. And this is very specific to Avraham Avinu, who's told to separate. It's a mitzvah for me to separate from you. That's approach number one in understanding, and it's probably the most simplest approach in understanding Yipara na malai, separate from you, your influence is just too dangerous, and therefore I need to protect myself. And obviously the lesson that we all have to learn is we all have to do that checking in. What is the effects, the influence? Are we ourselves getting influenced? And when we see that we ourselves are really not being able to hold, then what measures do we need to take? And this is what we learned from Avraham Avinu. And the fact that there is some level of complaint against him means that even when you push away, you shouldn't push away completely. You always have to hold the ability to keep the person at arm's length, that you can be able to still reach out for them. And obviously it's a much more complex and very painful a very challenging situation that you have to speak with experts in the field in every particular case. That's level one. Now I'd like to take a look at two other levels that are really going to give us a global picture of Lot and understand Hipara Namalai in two very, very different ways. Both very fascinating. Both gives us insight into not only our Parsha, but in Parshas Vayera as well. The first approach I like to do is Ruach Eliyahu, Rav Svei Zatzal, Philadelphia Rosh Yeshiva of the past. And he notes this complexity of Lot that we pointed out, Source 13. On the one hand, we see that he was a great person. The Gemara Brachos says, one who sees Lot and his wife in a dream says two brachos. On his wife, you say Baruch Dad Emes, and on Lot, you say Baruch Zocher Dad Tzadikim, blessed is the one who remembers the righteous people. Not only was he Aravino, whose Lot was saved in his merit, but Lot himself is included. Now, parenthetically, what does it mean to see Lot and his wife? What exactly that looks like, I don't know. I guess if you see people who are salt of the earth, you have a sense of you're in the right direction. First, he knows from Rabbi Rucham that when the angels came to impress upon him to leave in next week's parsha, Rabbi Rucham points out that he waited and he was trying to daven. Shamad as betzilah lifnei mishavi adola mivalach yol vakesh rachamim al eir tzoar. He went to daven for the city of Tzoar that he have a place that be refuge for him. And here he understood it wasn't the angels that were destroying the city; it was the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He turned his attention to Hashem, and indeed we see on the pasuk that when Hashem destroyed Sodom, he remembered Avraham and he took Lot out. What did he remember? Remember the fact that Lot didn't share the secret that Avram and Sarah are husband and wife, not only brother and sister. The Maharal on this explains the Hasod Hu Inyan Shel Pnimius. The fact that he didn't reveal the Sod, the bracket of 14, the secret, shows you the Pnimius, the inner part of the person. Zet Lo Shel Gilat Lot Et Sodel Shel Avram Ochiach Shebi Pnimuto Hayalo Shaychut Shel Avram. His inner world, says the Maharal, was connected to Avraham Avinu. He may not have manifested in an outward way. He chose to live in certain places. But the core Lot was a person who was Anashim Achim Anachdu. There was some correlation, brother. There was some real relationship between Avraham Avinu and Lot. So on the one hand, you see there's greatness of Lot. On the other hand, in 15, you see that Lot gets drunk and is living with his daughters, having children. Yet on the other hand, the Medrash speaks about that from who came from this relationship was David HaMelech. And the Medrash describes it as the Pasuk in Vayaba Yomahu Yitafu Harimavsis. In the future, the mountains are going to produce this grapes and juice is going to be overflowing, which is a hint to the wine of Lot, which is a hint that what's going on here is something to do with the messianic vision. So Lot again has all of these very conflicting ideas. And yet we have the Chazal, the end of 16. Shamar Efshe, lo ba'Avram v'lo ba'Elokav. I don't want anything to do with Avram and his God. So it's almost like, well, the real Lot, please stand up. What are we talking about here? He offers the following. He says, when in Source 17, he quotes the Lekas Sichos Musar, which Source 19 quotes as well, Rav Sher. He says, the herdsmen of Lot are, you know, have lumdunus going on here. You know, the land really belongs to Avraham, you know. And if the land belongs to him and he has no one to inherit it, so really, the land belongs to us. Ah, it hasn't been given to us, but it will be given to us. So since it will be given to us, and it's this, it belongs to us. And Ulam Avravina Ra'a, and Mashimunach Mitacha Lamachlokezu Nigiya Shochem Dasamamo. When Avravina heard this whole back and forth, he understood we're not really arguing about land here. We're not arguing about who's the heir. We're arguing about something much deeper. And this is the greatness of great people. That, and they teach you this, that, at least I've been taught this, that when you listen to girls, you know, asking you a question, always listen to what they're really asking you, not what they're asking you. Because behind every statement a person makes is something really much deeper than that, or oftentimes. And you have to pick up on what's the deeper issue here, which is, I haven't, you know, it's a skill that one has to learn. So Avraham was listening to this conversation of who's the heir to the land, and we can shepherd our sheep wherever we want to. It's not about who's the heir to the land. It's not about the sheep. It's about something much deeper. We want the land now. We want to be able, chemda samamo, we want to have the money as much as possible. Haya barur l'Avraham she'il malei haya lo nagua b'chemda samamo lo yamasuga lomar lumdus kazeh. He understood that if it wasn't driving, the drive for money wasn't there, this wouldn't be going on here. And this is what made Avraham Avinu so afraid to be with him. Yes, he had a lot of hakaras hatov to Lot, that he went out and put his life on the line to save him. He was also worried that he's going to be influenced by Lot, that Lot had this insidious way of trying to make his priorities very skewed. Now, here's the key in Source 18. Listen closely. Lamito shel davar mever hasaba lo haitazo pikudava hora'a. When Avraham Avinu says, he parted, now my life, separate from me, it wasn't a command. Ela bakasha l'shem mivchan lerod im yaskin li parein mimenu olo. Avraham Avinu wanted to test the ground. He wanted to see, where are you holding Lot? In his gut, Avraham Avinu felt that Lot was a little bit too interested in money. And not, his priorities were not into the spirituality. It wasn't into, like, you know, who deserves Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't into that. He was into how much, you know, grass can my sheep, you know, consume. So he understood that we have to get to the grassroots of this. And he wanted to test, was his gut feeling right or not? So when he said, he pardoned on my life, separate from me, it wasn't like, okay, now, Lot, get out of here, I can't have you here, which was the first level. Your influence is bad. No, no, no. He was saying, okay, Lot, I see we have a little bit of a disagreement. I have a good idea. Why don't you separate from me? And that was a suggestion which he then hoped that Lot's response would have been, Avraham Avinu, you want me to separate from you? Avraham Avinu, you are the source of all my spirituality. Avraham Avinu, my uncle, my brother-in-law, you are the epitome of Nesiba Aretz, the Prince of the Lamb. From you I gain all my spiritual strength. You want me to separate from you? How could such a thing be? But Lot doesn't say that. Lo lifts his eyes and he sees the Kikara Yardane. He sees that this land is a land that's rich and fertile. And he says, that sounds like a great idea. Hey, you want me to leave? No problem. I'll pack my bags. I think I'm going to go east toward that area. This was a test to see, was Avraham Avinu right or not? And the answer was, he was completely right. Avraham Avinu ratzal adat aneichan in the bracket in 18. Magad chandato lamamon. He wanted to see the extent that the love of money reached. Im kasher yomar lo yiparedna mala yikabel zot lo kamom komanet. Will he not respond? Siman hu shechandat hamamon kar nishvar shabo. That's a sign that he's already so rooted in his money. Im kein mekukal hu v'yesh lachshol shoshevet imo. And that's a further indication that he can't possibly sit with him. Meanwhile, and this is again in source number 20, what the Leket Tzichos Musa points out, hey, mito to ben yisayon. This was a test. V'lo amad ben yisayono. Haya lo lakir et ha'emet. Shagam shu margish megufo shekfar ala l'ruma ma'ala. He should have seen the truth. Albeit he's reached great heights. And Lot understood his greatness. He understood on whatever level, or as the Shem understood, that Mashiach was going to come from him. How can you take the branch away from the tree? Right? You can't leave. And you have to stay by Avraham Avinu. And he should have said, how can I leave you? What was Lot thinking? So, Rosvei, as well as Leket Tzichos Musar, both the end of 18 and 20, point out, Lot said to himself, you know what? I've learned a lot from Avravino. Okay, this is my opportunity. Let me go to a place that Avravino hasn't, you know, yet hit. Right? Stone was a pretty dark place on many levels. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to do Kibruv. And I'm going to set up a Kibruv Center. And here, I can bring people close to Hashem. I'm on that level. I'm ready. Hodiya Batuach, in 18, Shayishiva B'Stom Lo Tazik Lo Lovei Beito. It's not going to harm me in any way, because I've already had such good midos, tovos, and the chinuch from Avravino, that he will not be affected in any way. And we see, he goes on, Rav Svein 21, he says, it's interesting, Gam Lachar Miken, we have the war of the four kings and the five kings in our parasha, and Lot is taken captive. And it's interesting, we find, the Pasuk says, that they took Vayku et Lot ve'ruchusho ben achi Avraham, they took Lot and all of his possessions, the nephew of Avraham, Vayechu v'hu yoshev b'Sdom, and he was sitting in Sdom. And then it talks about that they took all the rechush of Sdom and Avmorah. So the question that the Svarim asks, brings down from the Svorna, is why do we have a separate pasuk that says that they took Lot? Shouldn't it just say they took everything in Sdom, including Lot? So says the devil of Squiggly, ki hitamsu lishpot et lo b'pnei shaya ben achi Avram shaya yodea la ashir vayumet sapim shiftu b'hom rab. Their focus was to take Avravino. They wanted to take Lo, rather. Why? Because they wanted the big ransom. So they knew that if they would take Lo in of its own right, they were going to cash in big. That should have woken Lo up, and that should have told Lo Lo was a great person. And Hashem gave him an Ot Mishamayim, and that sign from heaven was, look, Lot, do you understand that all of your wealth was gone within minutes? Do you understand? Did you see the way Melech Stone was caught in those lime pits, and he was totally, unable to move? Do you understand, though, that money and possessions is so temporary? And that all of your greatness you got because of Avram? And the reason why you got all of your things back is because of Avram? This was a sign from heaven, and he says very clearly, Zot omeret, this was a clear, Lachar shalot, bachar li parei ma'avram, lo sheva b'tzom, biglal netiyat mamon, ma'asak resh baruch hu, sivei milchama ben amalachim, kadei shipol lo b'yideim, v'yatzilu Avram. This war was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a lesson for Avraham Avinu. Right? Everything has such direct hashgacha. And again, you see the greatness of Lot, that Hashem does this whole war for him. Lot, wake up! I'm telling you, you're wrong. Your priorities are wrong. After this war, we should expect that Lot says, Chatati, my priorities were not in order. You know, Avraham Avinu, thank you for saving me. I realize that money is limited. What is worth anything is relationship with Hashem. And because you're Avraham Avinu, you were able to be successful in this war, and that's why you were saved. But Lot doesn't have that response. You know what Lot's response was? Lamrod Shira'ah She'ein Yishivet Toba Stom Lotzom Chei Bein Hashem, in the Squiggly, in 21. Even though his mind it was to bring people closer to Hashem, he wasn't ready to admit that he made a mistake. He went back to Sdom. How did Lot look at this? He says, you know what? Hashem was testing me. He wanted to see if my kiruv would continue even though I went into, prison for this. You know what? I'm going to show Hashem that I am on his side. I'm ready to do whatever needs to be done. And he goes back to stone. Isn't it amazing, my friend, how when a person wants to see something in their own eyes, they will be able to twist anything that happens, and they'll be able to see it the way they want to see it. Lot is you and me, my friends, and we'll see that throughout our discussion today. When you want to see something in your way, then you don't see the truth. You don't see that this was a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what, Lot? Your money is worthless. See what priorities are. And instead, Lot says, you know, Hashem was testing me, and I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to go back to Sodom. Kavanato 22, lo hayta shleima v'rutsuya. Ela betov tocho chavuya hayta chemda lamamo. Chemda shnishtar shabuli bo v'sin v'ra et deinav. V'hihi shevilachol zeh. Why did Lot make this mistake? The answer is, he was affected by money. The money bribed him. And when you have something that bribes you, you don't see the truth. And you see everything through the lens the way you want to see it. Because he wanted to still live in Sodom. He wanted to have the rich life. And because he wanted to have that rich life, he was ready to do whatever he needed to do. And whatever mindset he needed to create in order to live there. And this is what it means. When he says, "Ef sheba Avram, ef sheba Elokav," I want nothing to do with Avram and his God. So, "Kilo Merim Avram Elokav Omdim LeNedi Umonimi Mene Lakshima Tavati," Azayef Shelo Avram Velo Elokai. What he's really saying is, he's not saying I don't believe in Avram, I don't believe in his God. He's not saying that, right? He was doing Kirub. He was saying is that if something gets in my way from getting what I want to get in life, then EFC, I don't need those blockages. I don't need to have that consciousness. That's the EFC. That's what I don't want to have. It's not a total rejection. It's just saying whatever is blocking me in my way. Lav dafka EFC gado, rak ba'omek kalei penima, munacha tchusha kazo, shimotzim lakacha mamono, ed masha hu kokach rotzeh, Yefshi, lo bavra, lo belokav. The Yefshi isn't something he perhaps articulated. Vayisa lo miketem. It's hinted at in the text, in the Chumash. It's not stated explicitly that he left God. Ketem, mikadmo shalolam, from the beginning of the world. Why? Because this is found in the recess of his heart. You're telling me I can't graze wherever I want, so I have a little secret to tell you. I'm not interested. I'm going to find a place where I can graze, and I'm going to legitimatize my way of life. And indeed, my friends, to a certain extent, as we've mentioned, this is all of us. You know, sometimes we make decisions. It may not be as dramatic, but, you know, let's say you're living in a comfortable house in a firm neighborhood, in a firm block, and then there's a great deal or a bigger house, but it's not around the veldt, it's not around the firm people. So what do we say? Well, it's a much better deal, and it's a good investment, and it's a much larger house. And you know what? I can do more hachnasot orchim in that house. I can have more guests, and I can have parlor meetings, etc., etc. So obviously, if it's such a good deal, let me move to that neighborhood so I won't be around all Jewish neighbors. You know, I'll make my Jewish neighbors who aren't from, I'll make them religious. I'll show them what a nice Jewish family it is. And then we rationalize. I'm not telling you not to move into the house. Okay, maybe I am. I am saying is that we have to make these considerations if we're honest with ourselves and what is best for our family. What will give us that protection that we need to be surrounded by the values and the people that are important. And the same thing holds true of so many areas of our lives. When we decide to go on vacation, so one place is a little bit nicer than the other, but doesn't have a minyan for my husband, or doesn't have the hechsher of food that I normally eat. So it's vacation, that's a low mentality. Of course I don't say that. You know, I'll bring food with me, so if we get stuck, you know. It's that deep down of what do I want? And what are my needs? And what are my pleasures? And how can I have my cake and eat it too? That's what Lot's all about. And when I have that type of mindset, so then I'm living the Yefshi of Lot. I may not articulate it that way, but that's our mindset. And that's why Rav Chaim Voloshin says, if a person is engaged, 24, and earning money solely for material reasons, he will easily rationalize that any deceitful practices are proper. His desire for money will blind him. He will not feel that anything he is doing is wrong. If, on the other hand, his main goal is that he and his family should be enabled thereby to study Torah and serve the Almighty, then all the aspects of the financial endeavors are for the sake of a mitzvah, and he'll take much more care that this mitzvah should not contain any transgressions. It's a certain honesty that we need to have. So, my friends, let's summarize level 1 and level 2, and then we'll get into a much deeper idea in level 3, Eretz Hashem. Why did Avraham Avinu say, "Paranam alai"? Very simple. He was afraid of the influence. And again, it's important to stay away from negative influences. the question that we have by Avravinu, again, Avravinu, of the right drawing in and the left pushing away, and where's the balance by love? And that perhaps Lo could have told them to move to a little bit of a closer place, not choose wherever you want to be, in order to be able to influence him. And that's the question that remains as a question mark. The second level, what was Avravinu thinking? He was worried about the indulgement, the indulging of Lot. And he wanted to test him. He wanted to see, who are you, Lot? Are you someone whose spiritual values are real? Or is it just inside of you, but you haven't brought it to the fore? So he parit nama alai is not a command. It's a nisayon. It's a test. He's testing the waters. And when Lot responds, well, you know, that's a great idea. You know, this is a great land for me. He's clearly saying what his priorities are. Obviously, Lot covers it up by thinking he'll do Kiruv, even though he did not bring one single person closer to him. And even after Hashem shows him clearly his mistake, he still justifies it because he wants to live the type of life that he wants. And that's the Yefshib Avram, the Yefshib Elokav, albeit it's not something articulated, perhaps, but something how he feels. If this is going to get away my way, I want to have nothing to do with this. And we know there are people whose Yiddishkeit is that way. God, I'll do whatever is comfortable for me. All of those mitzvahs I'll do with joy. Ah, you want me to do something that's going to be a little bit difficult for me? It's going to, you know, affect my whatever it is. So, and there we draw the line. And we have to be honest with ourselves. And it's hard sometimes to be honest because we have negias, we have biases. And we have to be honest about those biases, and we have to be able to have that clarity to understand when we fall into these traps. The third level is the Talei Chaim, the Chalban. It's a very, very long, very deep, intricate essay that Emir Hashem will do the best we can to just to try out, to pull out the nuggets of it, to be able to see a Mahalach in Lot, a Mahalach in our story, and to understanding Parin on my line. We see that Avravinu is taking Lot to Eretz Yisrael. Lot, 25, is obviously a person of greatness. Anyone who is worthy to come into Eretz Yisrael, he obviously has some type of connection to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a holy place. And indeed, we know in 27, of Sof Maisa Machshava Tchila, the bracket, that in the end we see that Moav comes from Lot, his relationship with his eldest daughter, Moav Me'av. Rut is a Moabite woman, and from Rut comes David HaMelech, that Lot is the father of Melech HaMashiach. So Lot has within him tremendous amount of Kedusha, tremendous amount of goodness. And really, he says in the dark line in the bracket in 27, Shekola Parasha Shalot Yesh Talich Amok, this whole story is really about the birth of the spark of Mashiach. Now, how do we understand this? So he said, he looks here, very interesting chida on the asterisks in 27. We know that in Aramaic, a light, is the language of curse. Lot itself, right? I don't advocate naming a child Lot. Not that sure you ever thought about it. But it's a name that means curse. Nevertheless, David HaMelech comes from him. So he says, and here's the key, Mikol makom misham yatzad David HaMelech alav ha-shalom u'melech ha-mashiach dehein tikun adam ha-risham. Coming from him is ultimately David and then ultimately Mirtz Hashem, Melech Mashiach b'nei Rabbi Yameinu, who are both the tikun of Adam ha-risham, who are the rectification of the sin of Adam, to have the perfected world. And Lot, in Gematria, is 45, which is Adam. And we know that Adam stands, Aleph is Adam, Dalet is David, and Mem is Mashiach. Well, let's try to understand this very slowly, because this is very deep. Lot represents, in his inner core, in his outer being, he is Klala, he is cursed. Nevertheless, and the Zohar Kadosh, Doresh et Lot u'mashvah to Leitzahara Shemadam. The Zohar connects Lot to the Yitzahara in a person. Avravinu is the Sod HaNeshama, the Aaron 28 is the Neshama. Sarin Menu is the Guf, and Loke comes along with them. That's Iggy Zahara. Obviously, a tremendous amount of depth here we don't understand necessarily. And therefore, Loke's whole job is to be able to... Loke is about the beginning of the process of bringing Mashiach from him. It's about connecting. He himself represents Adam. He represents the Klola, the Yitzhahara of Melech HaMashiach, and he has within him the potential to be metaken that, to rectify that. Lod has within him the very good, Melech HaMashiach, and the very bad, the Klola, the Yitzhahara. He is same gematria as Adam. Adam, David, and Mashiach. That's Lod. That's what he's about. He has all of this within him. Let's try to make some sense of this. 29. On the outside, he's a klala, he's cursed. In his inside, he is Ramuz Adam Rishon. He is the Nitzotz. He is the spark of Mashiach. Nimsa Shalodu Mamash Bevchinat Adam Rishon V'Tzarich Tikkun. He is Adam Rishon that needs to be rectified. Sheyesh bo inyan haklala v'achet shenitkalkel v'olam yesh birkabo gam nitzos gavel v'olyon. He has the outer, which is the sin, and the inner, which is so, so very deep. Avram Avinu's job is to be able to rectify Lot, and in rectifying Lot, he's really elevating and rectifying the sin of Adam Rishon. And that was the Avos' job. We know the Avos' job was to bring the Shekhinah back down to this world and to metaken and to rectify the sin of Adam Rishon. And there are many ways to rectify that sin, right? The fact that Avraham Avinu has his sheep muzzled, his herd muzzled, is a way of rectifying the sin of Adam Rishon, which was gesel, which was robbery. So there are many ways that were... the Avos HaKadoshim were involved in this. One of the ways that Avraham Avinu was involved in rectifying the sin of Adam HaRishon was to rectify and to fix, so to speak, to work on Lot, who is a living model or a personification of Adam and all that he entailed. Now, how do you work on somebody? So 31, 32, there are two ways. The obvious way you work on somebody is hitamsut v'hitchaskut b'tov. You take somebody, you plant them in a great environment, you give them positive reinforcement, you show them the beauty of Torah, they fall in love with Torah, and they're so enthralled by the way of Torah and mitzvos that the asei tov, the positive, is so powerful that the sur meira, the negative, just falls by the wayside, and they live a life directed and close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And indeed, that's what Avraham Avinu had hoped with Lot. He hoped that bringing him into Eretz Yisrael, bringing him to a place of Kedusha, surrounding him by Kedusha, that goodness would just come out on its own, and he would be rectified, and he would be elevated, and Mashiach could come from him, and we could all live happily ever after. However, Lot, who is the personification of Adam HaRishon, had so much of the evil rooted in him that this method did not work for Lot. Lot, albeit, has this goodness, and there is a lot in him. He wasn't able to conquer the evil and have the good overcome the evil. And therefore we find that Avraham Avinu, Hevi in 34, Shilo Tzarich Lo Si El Apo El Akol, Chamdato v'tavato l'kesev v'kavod v'itam v'atzmo emirivutam v'afzutam. Avraham Avinu understood that the only way to work with Lot is to have him so enmeshed and immersed in the negative world, to allow him to bring out all of his love for money, etc., and to the nth extent. And if he'd be so immersed and involved in this, he'll then see with clarity that this is nothing. This is afsiyut. This is, like you say to somebody, and this is a very dangerous thing to do, obviously, that, there's nothing here. And when they see that there's nothing there, then they say, oh, I've left such a life of beauty. Right? He compares it, he says, to like people who go off to, the Far East. Sometimes I think, the meditation, the Far East, this is where I need to be. And then they realize that there's nothing in the Far East, and they come back to Yiddishkeit. And that's why Aravinu Mevin, the Aaron 34, She'en Derech Lechanech Elod Ela Davka Batimo Miriwa Tara. He understands that the only way that Lod is going to learn is he's going to have to taste the bitterness. V'Aderech HaYichidah Shecho Alomol Dat Hashem V'Darko Shel Tov V'Yedei Nefila Bara. Sometimes, you know, they say that when you hit rock bottom, you find the rock, Sur Yisrael, the rock at the bottom, rock with a capital R. You find a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes people have to fall to the greatest depth of depravity to then really break and then say, you know what, oh my gosh, where did I land? What happened to me? And that then is the impetus for them to say, you know what, rehab, drugs, this is what I've made of my life, and I'm only 21, and that is the impetus to come back. And this is the idea in 35, that Am Ravinu Nitan Lelo, Lelechad Lestom, Lotziela Poel Tavatav HaShvelut, Lekesel Vatzaya, V'kach Lo Mipzei Shavar Mavater Olot, Ela Daf Gipzei Shu Do Eglo V'rotzel Letakno, Hu Mevin Shelo Tzarich Lelecha Racho Kedei Lid Karev. Listen closely, my friend. Av Ravinu saying, He parana my life, separate from me, is not in order to say, I want to have nothing to do with you. It's not because he gave up on Lot. No! He's telling him, I want you to separate from me. Go to stone because he cares about it. Because he understands that this is the only educational method that Lot's going to understand. He's encouraging him to go to stone. He's encouraging him to be in a world of materialism and evil, so that Lo will understand there's nothing there. He'll get it out of his system to then be able to come back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that explains he parried not my lie. First level, he was afraid of being influenced. Second level, he was afraid, he was testing him out. He parried my lie, it's a Mishlayo. On the third level, no. He was inculcating within him a very powerful message. You're so connected. You know what? I want you to take that money, and I want you to go with it, run with it to the nth degree. And let's see where you land at the end. And that's why, 36, when the war happens, and he sees that he lost all of his money, that was, again, a wake-up call for Lot. You know what? Is this really what life is all about? At the end, when the stock market crashes, you step back and you say, this is what I spent my whole life for? And then, that's why we see in 37 that, yes, Lot goes back to live in stone, because Lot isn't completely cured. This is going to be a very long and difficult process. He goes back to stone. He stills into his pleasures and into his money. However, we find a little bit of a difference now with Lot in stone. Uvein Lot shemekabel tamalachim Lot avar mashu hu nitar yoter, the double underlined asterisk 37. Umnam hu lo itapech mamash loto v'lachin chazar lagur v'stone. You know what? He hasn't gone back to Avravino. He hasn't been completely purified. But you know what? You see a shift. After the war, you now see a Lot who's sitting in the Sharair ready to take in guests. That shift has come because the bad has begun to a little bit. He's seen the light. Is this really what life is all about? And now he's ready to take in guests. Now he's ready to put his life on the line for them. The beginning of the chinuch process has begun, and now we see that Lot is a little bit influenced. Omnam, however, we see machur shu adayin yachol lano b'shtei olamot gam hatov hara in the bracket of 37, that Lot is still sold to evil and wants his cake and eat it too. The Talei Chaim then goes on, and very, very deep. We'll try to understand it a little bit to say that Lot, that the destruction of Lot is really a model for what happens to Tzaddikim. The fire of Lot, of the Roshayim, of wicked people, the fire of stone is like the fire of Gehenna. And that fire is that fire of clarity where you sit in, Gehenna is sitting in your sin, and just feeling like this is what I'm spending my whole life in? That feeling of pain, that feeling of, ugh, that's what the Esh HaGehinnom is. Why did Hashem destroy stone? So he explains, we'll do it outside, it's very complicated, very deep. He explains that when Adam HaRishon sinned, it affected not only him, it affected places as well. In Eretz Yisrael, stone became that place which represents the sin of Adam HaRishon. It was a place of kokulo evil. And it's interesting that our pasuk describes stone as being as beautiful as Mitzrayim. Why are we bringing Egypt here? So we know that the Chumash tells us in Parshat Ekev that Mitzrayim was a place that was watered by Kegan HaYarek. It's watered by one's feet. You don't need to have rain from the heaven. That was exactly the punishment of the Nachash. I don't want you, God says, to ever daven to me. I'm going to provide you with all your needs. Egypt was a place that was also had all of the tumah of Adam HaRishon. And that's why the Jewish people had to go into Egypt to bring out Vaynatzluatim Mitzrim. They had to take out all the negative sparks and be able to elevate the Egypt experience. That's why they had to be there. Stone was that place in Eretz Yisrael where they didn't need rain. They were able to irrigate the ground on themselves. It's a place where God says, you don't need me at all. It's a place post-sin where a person is so, so disconnected from God. That's why Lot, who is that aspect of Adam before and after the sin, that's why Lot goes to stone. Matzah min et mino. And that's what it means, Vayisa Lot mikedem. And Lot traveled from the east. We know that it's Gan Eden is called the Garden of the East. Traveling away from Mikedem, from Avraham Avinu, he's traveling from his source of goodness of the Garden of Eden. He's traveling from the good part of himself, and he is involving himself in all of the evil. When he goes through this purification process, one is losing all his wealth, and that wakes him up. The second is the destruction of stone itself, and unfortunately that included the death of his children, two of his girls, as well as his wife. It was getting rid of all that negativity of all the klola part of Lot, so that now he'll be ready to be able to father Melech HaMashiach. It's only after the destruction of stone, when all of that negativity is, so to speak, burned out from him, that he's able now to be the father and give birth to the progenitor of Melech HaMashiach. However, keep in mind, even giving of the birth is not done in the best way possible, because he's not completely purged. Lot, it takes over time. And the complete purging of Lot, which is really the complete purging of Adam HaRishon, the complete tikkun is only going to be Adam, David, and Mashiach. We're still in that state. So to a certain degree, Avraham Avinu understood, I have to be metaking the chait of Adam HaRishon through the personality of Lot. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. It's going to be a process that's going to affect over many, many generations. At Bias Goa, when the ultimate tikkun, Melech HaMashiach comes, then the ultimate tikkun will come. On this level, my friend, what's the message for us? So to tell a person that, you know what, go off the deep end and then you'll come back is obviously very dangerous. However, in retrospect, we see that that is sometimes what a person needs in order to wake up. And we see that there is, we see this. Rav Chaim Shulevitz points out in 43, paradoxical as it may seem, Israel lapses and dark nights serve as both preparation and prerequisite of ascension to greatness. This is not only true of Israel as a nation, but also each individual's own battle as the Yetzer Hara experiences periods of darkness. It is these periods of darkness which enable one to clearly perceive the truth, discerning the light by its contrast to the darkness. A case of this he brings is the case of Yosef of Shishya, who the Romans told him, let a Jew be the first to go into Beis HaMikdash, take whatever you want. He takes them in Orah, And they say to him, you know, do you think it's befitting for a commoner to take this? And that was like that snake bite. He says, oh my gosh, what did I do? They said, go back in, take something else. He says, I angered my creator once, I'm going to anger him twice. And he was tortured to death. And he said, better to be tortured to death than to anger God. Here is a person who had no compunction about entering into the Heichal to take the menorah, and he does such a turnaround. And the answer is, when you hit rock bottom. That's shot in the Pasuk, says Chaim Shmulevitz. Shuva Yisrael, L'Shem Elokecha, ki kashalta b'avanecha. Sometimes, what's going to be the impetus to do tshuva? You've fallen in your sin. You've reached rock bottom. You realize, oh my gosh, how could I have done this? So obviously, we don't wish this on anybody. However, in our own lives, at times, when we go through an experience that makes us feel really low, and we say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've reached this. Instead of being despondent, allow ourselves to reframe it and say, wow, if I've reached this level, Pasuk Micha, that ki Hashem v'choshech, Hashem orli, it's because I sat in the darkness, Hashem is my light. It's through these challenging situations when I feel like I'm in a level of despair, that's what's going to be the impetus to draw a person up and to bring them closer to Hashem. And Rabbi Friedman, listen to your messages, points out the following. He says, the Gemara tells us, source 46, there will be no Gehenna in the next world. Rather, the Holy One, blessed be He, will unveil the sun, the righteous will be healed by it, and the sinful will be punished by it. Rav Zev Left explains the sun as allegory, as a metaphor for the light of truth. In the future, Hashem will shed the light of truth upon the world. There will be no more subterfuges, no more excuses, no more only the unadorned truth. There will be no place to hide, and we'll have to face the truth. The righteous will be vindicated by the truth, and the sinful will be condemned by it. At that time, we'll all look back over the long span of our lifetimes, and we'll understand what our lives really meant. And if we discover, heaven forbid, that for all those years we were living a lie, it'll be incredibly painful, more painful than any external rebuke could possibly be. And it tells the following story. I'm going to bring it inside because I think we can all relate to it on our own levels in our lives. There was once an executive in the Arrow in 46 who worked a middle-level management for a small but prestigious company. He was very devoted to the company, did everything in his power to climb the corporate ladder. One day, without any forewarning whatsoever, the company went out of business. One day, his business was unusable. The next day, they were asked to clear their desk and seek employment elsewhere. A security guard was posted at the door to make sure the employees took nothing belonging to the company. No calculators, no equipment, no supplies, no files, no records, nothing but personal belongings. When his executives turned to pass through security, he walked right past the guard and headed for the door. Excuse me, sir, the security guard called to him. I have to inspect your box. I have to make sure it contains nothing belonging to the company. Listen closely. The executive spun around in a rage. He put down his box, ripped open his shirt, and bared his chest. You want to see what belongs to this company? He cried, pounding his chest. This belongs to the company. My heart. I gave 30 years of my life to the company. I was here day and night and holidays too. I gave the company everything. And suddenly you just go out of business? For this I gave my life? For this I have to suffer the indignity of being treated like a thief? You worry that I might take some pencils, but what about my heart? What about the best years of my life? What had pierced this man so deeply? Was it the loss of his job, his prestigious position? No. It was more than that. All of a sudden, this poor man had been hit with the awful truth. All of a sudden, he realized that all the time he had stolen from his family, all the weekends he had spent in the office, all the nights he had spent with clients were all for nothing. How could he have done this to himself and his family? How could he fritter away the best years of life for a mirage? How could he have allowed himself to live a lie? The awful truth stared him in the face. And it was more painful than he could bear. How do we become conditioned to facing the truth? How do we avoid the nasty surprise of discovering what we've been living a lie? Of discovering we wasted our lives away by deluding ourselves? The asterisk of 47, it all begins with our attitudes of speaking truth. If we're scrupulous in the words we speak, making sure that we speak only the truth, then we're better able to recognize truth when it stares us in the face. But if we rationalize about the little falsehoods, the line between truth and falsehood becomes blurred in our minds. Then we can no longer differentiate between truth and falsehood very easily, and we're missing the truth that stares us in the face. Is it any wonder, my friend, Lekha Chalilva points out that we saw that Zohar Kadosh before, that Avram is in the Shema, and Lod is the Yitzhahara. And the Yitzhahara's job is L'sametainayim, to blind us from seeing the truth. The Kli Yakar points out that the name of the Yitzhahara is Samael, which is the otiot listame, to blind, to deceive. This is the malacha shelo yireh ha'adam ha'tameh, the bracken 48. The Yitzhahara's job, Lot's job, is to blind us from seeing the truth. And now we can appreciate what this pasuk is about. Avraham Avinu is saying, the soul is saying to the Yitzhahara, Hipara nama alai. If you go to the right, go to the right. If you go to the left, go to the left. Let me have that clarity of knowing the difference between right and left. Let me have that clarity of knowing what's correct and what's not correct. Because Lotus and Tziva Shalom points out in 49 represents that world of wanting to have the spirituality and the physicality together. It's the world of Adam after the sin. It's the world of Tov and Ra. It's a world where everything becomes mixed up together and you don't have that clarity. And you're able to rationalize everything and you make excuses for everything. And then suddenly all those lines become blurred. And we can live an entire life that's a lie. Hipara nama alai. To separate, the Torah is nitzvi, the Torah is eternal. So yes, it's a message to separate from all those negative influences. It's also a message to be able to understand that when we're being tested, that we're able to follow the test and say, no, I'm not giving up my connection to spirituality. I'm not giving up my anchor that allows me to be connected to the truth. It's also about understanding that sometimes when we fall, that's the impetus for us to get up, and we have to go through these processes. However, the depth of this pasuk is that Avraham Avinu, our neshama, is speaking to the Lot in each and every one of us. When we read this pasuk, we have to hear it echoing within our own mind. Hipara nama alai. If you go to the right, to the right, to the left, to the left, let there be clarity between right and left. Leave me. I can't and I don't want to live a life of Lot, of klala, of lying. I need to live a life to be able, as much as possible, to make a distinction between right and wrong, good and bad. And one who lives a life of truth, who's careful about saying the truth, who's careful about that the books are honest, that everything they do is honest. When you live a life where everything around you is a life of honesty, you'll be much more careful to be able to find when those lies begin to slip in, when the chait of Adam is able to rear its head. And we should be zochet to be able to make that split between the good and the evil, between the spiritual and the mundane, and be able to have that clarity that we will be the ones who are helping along this route of being mitaked, the sin of Adam HaRishon, that the Bias Goel, the Mashiach, can come. B'mheira b'yameinu. Amen.